the gift of God to us. Lord, we want to thank you for being so mindful of us. Thank you. The Bible says that he will give us shepherds after his own heart, who will feed us with knowledge and with understanding. And we are thankful today. We are thankful today. We are thankful today. If you have been blessed in any way by the gift of God, our Father in this house, Reverend Tony Amosu, I want you to be intentional with your gratitude and just thank God. Thank God. For some of us, he's been a teacher. For some of us, he's been a pastor. For some of us, he's been a coach and a mentor. For some of us, he's acted in the role of a father, an instructor, a guide, a friend. He's been there at different times in our life's journey. And we're just thankful that God ordered our steps to the rock foundation. We are not here because we were invited. We're here because God ordered our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God didn't just order our steps into this house. He also planted us in this house. We are called the planting of the Lord. He planted us here. He chose this house for us, and then he planted us here. And there's no doubt that each of us here, we have a testimonial of God honoring that choice of coming to this house and becoming plugged in and becoming connected and becoming a part of the family in this great house. Today, Lord, we pause to praise. We pause to say thank you. We are thankful. We are thankful that we've brought us to still waters, not troubled waters. Still waters. You brought us to green pasture. We thank you, oh God. The waters are still at the rock foundation, and the pasture is green at the rock foundation. We are grateful, oh God. We are grateful, oh God. We are grateful for how our lives are turning out. We are becoming the very image of the Son of God. We are becoming everything you've ordained for us to be. We are not there yet, but we know he who has begun the good work is more than able to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Because in God, there is no abandoned project. If God begins a work, he's more than able to complete what he has started. So we know that we're a work in progress. As a husband, as a mother, as a wife, as a student, as whatever we are, we're a work in progress. We've not reached the zenith of our possibilities. We've not reached God's ultimate for our lives. But we are on that journey, and we know that our path can only shine brighter and brighter. And so today we just say thank you. 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 We give you praise. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd like the worship team to help me to sing this song. You are good. You are never seen. Yes, Lord.
We're devoted to your grace.
Yes, Lord, and forever. We're devoted to It is in that name that we are gathered today. It is in that name that we have all converged on this holy ground. It is in that name in whom we have placed our trust. For those who know your name, put their trust in you. Your name is still a strong tower into which the righteous run and they are safe. We thank you. Some trust in chariots, some in weapons of war. But we remember that name, the name of the Lord our God. When they are brought down and falling, we will rise, standing upright. We thank you for this great house, for all that you are doing in this great house. The Lord our God in our midst has been mighty. And we lay it to heart to say thank you. We thank you for your gift to us. For indeed, the Bible says when you ascended on high, you led captivity captive, and you give men as gifts. We are grateful for our gift, O God. And we thank you for adding years to the life of our gift and adding life to the years of our gift. We thank you, Almighty God, for another year. Thank you because you have been Ebenezer. You've been the God of his journey. Thus far, you have helped your servant. We give you praise, O God. And we want to thank you because we know that you are not done. We want to thank you because we know that there are yet heights to attain. There are yet grounds to gain. There are yet places to go and things to do for you. Father, we thank you for the renewal of strength, even in this new year, O God. Father, we thank you for this house. Thank you because this house, O God, will continue to grow from strength to strength and from glory to glory. We give you praise for the emergence of giants from this house. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Within the brevity of the time that we have, we ask, O God, that you will cause us to see light in your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's celebrate our King eternal, our King immortal, our God only wise. The great I am, the God of your journey, celebrate him today. If your story is a story of his grace, if your life is a testament to his mercy, go ahead and celebrate him today. Let the world know that you are who you are on account of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And church, it's a great honor to come to this great house, great house, great house. You may not know, because this is your house, so you can take it for granted. But this house is a great house. And this house is feeding people all over the world, including me. This is a great house. And I want us to please celebrate our gift from God. And you know, when we do that, it's not hero worship. It's just the right thing to do. Amen. Let's be seated. I want to thank you, sir and ma, for this great honor and this great privilege of association, the privilege of access. I do not take it for granted. And by the grace of God, it will not be abused. And I want to thank the entire leadership of this great house. They asked Archbishop Benson Dahoza before he went to glory, what were the indices of his success? He said, number one, prayer. He said, number two, teamwork. Number three, he said, hard work. Then he said, teamwork again, because I cannot do it alone. Nobody can do it alone. From the very beginning, we saw God establishing the principle of togetherness. When God said, let us make man in our image. So it was God who established the principle of togetherness, that no man can actually do it alone. Genesis 2 and verse 18 is not a restricted scripture to the context of marriage. It's just a fundamental truth that it is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 9 that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. We're told in Acts chapter 4 and verse 23 that Peter and John went to their own company. Nobody is supposed to be doing life alone. We are all supposed to be a part of a unique spiritual family. That's why in Psalm 68, we are told in verse 6 that God sets the solitary in families. God sets the solitary in family so as to bring out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious will dwell in a dry land. Remember that among many things, in Isaiah 61 and verse 3, among many things, we are called trees of righteousness and we are called the planting of the Lord. If you are the planting of the Lord, it means it is God who will choose where you should be planted. Glory to God. If you are the planting of the Lord, then he will choose the location, the most viable environment for you to be planted, because what he has in mind is that you thrive and grow well. The Bible tells us, therefore, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, I believe, and verse 10, God was speaking. He said, I will appoint a place for my people. I, God, will appoint a place for my people, and I will plant them. So if you are in this house, you are planted by God in this house. Now you see, there are two types of things that qualify you for flourishing. One is to be righteous. Psalm 92 and verse 12. The Bible says the righteous shall flourish. If you are a child of God, if you are a believer, there is a blessing in just being a child of God. Psalm 107 and verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord, let them say so. Galatians 3 and verse 13 says that he says Christ has redeemed us, glory to God, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham may rest upon us. So there is a blessing in just being righteous. Psalm 92 and verse 12, that's where I'm actually speaking from. Now, it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. But then the next verse now says again, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the court of their God. So there is a flourishing from just being righteous, but another level of flourishing from being planted in the house of God. Some people are in the house of God, but they are not planted. They have landed, but they are not planted yet. They are already in church, but they are not well connected. They are not well plugged in. And the Bible says in Isaiah 37 and verse 31, before you can bear fruit upwards, you will have to first take root downwards. The remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah, they will first of all take root downwards. And then they are going to begin to bear fruit upwards. So when you come to church and you don't take root in that church, you can't bear fruit in that church. You must first take root in the church. And it takes time to take root, become somebody who is dependable. When we don't see you, we should notice your absence. If we cannot notice your absence, it means your presence is gradually becoming unnecessary. If you cannot notice your absence, there are people that if they're not in church, we notice them. It means they've made themselves to be a plus factor in the house of God. They've chosen to be a contributor in the house of God, right? That's why we notice when they are not in church. But if you don't notice you've been in our church for 5 years. 5 years after, you are not in church and nobody notices you. It means that you have not been a contributor. You've not been a value adder. You've not been a plus factor. And God expects you to be a plus factor in the house. Among the many things God said to Abraham, he says, I'm going to bless you and I will make you a blessing. You are meant to be a blessing in the house of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as everyone has received a gift. So there's nobody who is not gifted. Each of us, we have an endowment of God. As everyone has received the gift, it's a minister the same. A steward of the manifold grace of God. Don't just sit, soak, and do nothing. As you receive, remember you're a part of an ecosystem. as you receive, make sure you're also excelling. You're also giving back. Having received, make sure you're also a blessing. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? As everyone has received a gift, he said, minister the same as stewards of the manifold grace of God. So a believer who has refused to be a blessing is indebted to the rest of us. If you have refused to be a blessing, you are indebted to the rest of us. There is something God has placed in you that is not meant for you. It is meant for us. There is no tree that eats its own fruit. Every fruit from a tree is for the benefit of others. If you are called a tree of righteousness, it means the fruit from your life is meant to bless somebody else. Bless us in church. Bless those who work with you where you are working. Bless members of your household. Wherever you are meant to be a blessing. Matthew 5 and verse 13, you are called a salt. Matthew 5 and verse 14, you are called a light. Then it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Verse 16, and glorify your Father that is in heaven. So don't just have it, do something with it. Make sure you are a blessing wherever you go. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Make sure you are a blessing. The summation of David's life is Acts chapter 13. And verse 36, the Bible said, David served his generation according to the will of God. So whether it was David as a king, David as a warrior, David as a poet, David as a psalmist, David as a worshiper, all of that was geared towards one thing, to serve his generation according to the will of God. Galatians chapter 5, we are told in verse 13, we've been called to liberty, but we should not use that liberty as an occasion for the flesh. But by love, we should serve one another. Meaning the motivation for whatever I'm doing should be love. Not to be seen, not to grandstand, not to play to the gallery. But love, the motivation is love. And love never fails. You know, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. Fear. That's why the Bible says those who fear, they are not made perfect in love. Paul was talking to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I think it's verse 6. He says, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Verse 7 says, because God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but of love. So if you want to overcome fear, walk in love. Let your motivation be love. When you want to overcome the fear of failure, bad performance, just make sure you are acting at all times from a place of love. What motivated God giving his son? It was love. For God so loved that he gave. Glory be to God. So when you act in love, listen to me, you can't go wrong. When you act in love in everything you do, in training your children, in raising the next generation, whatever it is you are doing, in serving in your office, if the motivation is love, why are our roads like this? Because those in government are not loving. They don't think we deserve better. If they think we deserve better, they won't keep our roads like this. If they think we deserve better, our economy will work better. Nigeria has no reason to be poor. But those who are at the end of affairs don't think that we deserve better. They just don't think. There's no value for the people. No sense of worth or regard for the people. And it's not just those in government. All of us are guilty of the same thing. All of us. Every time you think, it's okay, why must you go the extra mile? It's because you don't think people deserve better. Why must I? Let's just leave it like that. No. You want to do anything? The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it. How? With the whole of your mind. Go the extra mile. In anything that you want to do. Anything that you want to do. And so I want to thank everybody who is involved in serving in this house. You know, I was blessed just hearing Rev speak again today. And everything he's doing, he's doing it for the audience of one. Everything he's doing it to hear the well done of the master. Matthew 25 and verse 21, well done. Matthew 25 and verse 23, well done. Everything we are doing is for that ultimate, well done, the well done of Jesus. Whatever people do for us is appreciation. Only God can reward. No man can reward you. No man can reward you. Never get disappointed in men because your journey did not start with them. It cannot end with them. Always manage your expectations where men are concerned. Because the best of men are still men. The Bible says in Matthew 10 and verse 10 that the workman is worthy of his wage. The question is, who will pay him? When you think a man is the one to pay you, and then when he doesn't pay you, you get disappointed. But just flash back, look into God's word and see a Jacob who worked for a boss who was changing the goalposts 10 times. High-handed, give him the shorter hand of the stick. And in spite of all of that, in Genesis 32 and verse 10, hallelujah, the Bible says, Jacob was speaking, when I crossed the river, all I had was a staff. But now, I have become too calm in spite of a very high-handed boss. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because you see, no man can stop your rising. No man. And listen, God will not consult their permission to determine your promotion. He prepares a table before you in the presence of those who don't think you deserve it. And God will not democratize his decision to lift you. He raises the poor from the dust, the needy from the donkey. He sets them with the princes. When it's time, it is time. And I came this morning to let you know the Lord will arise and have mercy upon Zion. Because the time to favor somebody here, the set time has come. As God is honoring his servant, he will honor him yet by lifting you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It may be the last quarter of the year, but it's the best part of the year. Because in Psalm 65 and verse 11, the Bible says, thou crowned the year with your goodness. Thou crowned the year with your goodness. So the ember months are the better months of the year. He said in Ezekiel 36, I believe it's verse 11. He said, I will multiply upon you men and beasts. I will make you to be inhabited. As in former times, he says, I will... And they shall increase and bear young. I will make you to be inhabited as in former times, and I will do better for you, hallelujah, than at the beginning. So I'm praying for somebody here that this October, this November, this December will be your month of divine compensation. Oluwa maroti ni furere. I said, Oluwa maroti ni furere. I said, Oluwa maroti ni furere. I said, Oluwa maroti furere. First Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19. Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. We serve a God who remembers. And I want you to know, child of God, in these days, the remaining days left in this year, the book of remembrance is being opened. You will be remembered for good. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So I want to encourage you, if you have been serving, to continue to serve. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. It said, be ye steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing. So your motivation is driven by an awareness. Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There are three levels of conviction. Romans 8 and verse 18, it says we reckon. Romans 8, 18, we reckon. 10 verses after, Romans 8, 28, he said we know. 10 verses after, Romans 8, 38, he said we are persuaded. We are persuaded. We go from reckoning to knowing to becoming persuaded. Neither death nor life. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And in all these things, we are. So maybe before now you are oscillating. But you see, You have come into a season of your life where for God to do anything more, you must come to a place of stability. Isaiah 33 and verse 6, it said, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. The fear of the Lord will be his treasure. So if you have been serving, continue to serve. Continue to serve. Don't let your hands be weary. Don't let anybody talk you out of following the Lord. Go on. Hebrews chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 10 that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. It's not, it will be unrighteousness for God to forget your work and your labor of love. And God is not unrighteous. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is not unrighteous. God is not a seed eater. He's a seed multiplier. It was Orpha Egin, the wife of Papa Egin, who said in her only book of 63 years of ministry with her husband, the title of the book is, "The Price is Not Greater Than the Grace." The price is not greater than the grace. And Orpha Egin said in that book, she said, every day is not payday, but paydays are certain days, and they always come. Every day is not payday. There will be long nights. There will be teary nights. Every day is not payday. There will be moments of contradiction on this journey. Every day is not payday, but paydays are certain days. That's why the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 that we should not be weary in well-doing, because in due season, not in needy season, but in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So it is not the sower that becomes the reaper. No, it is the sower that refuses to give up, that refuses to faint, that becomes a reaper. So if you sow and you give up, then you will plant for somebody else to harvest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you sow and you don't dig in your heels, because time is pressing and you allow time to violate your faith and expectation and confidence in God, you are going to give up on the eve of your coronation. Don't be in that number. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 39. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We are of them who believe unto the saving of the soul. One of my first scriptures when I gave my life to Christ was Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, anyone having laid his hand to the plow and looking back, the shortest scripture, shortest verse of the Bible, I think it's John 11, 25, is it? Or 35? Is it 35? It says, Jesus wept. The next one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think, where he says, rejoice evermore. I think that is verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think it's verse 16. It says, rejoice evermore. Then the next one is Luke chapter 17, I believe it's verse 32, where he said, remember Lot's wife. What was it about Lot's wife? She turned back. Now, before people turn back, they first think back. They think back, then they look back, then they turn back, then they go back. It begins in their mind. Your biggest battles will be fought between your ears. Your biggest battle to stay in that marriage, to stay on that job, will be fought between your ears. The biggest battle. Though we walk in the flesh, we are not fighting against the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, mighty through God to pull down strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself above God's knowledge, bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Your biggest battles will be fought between your ears. That's why the Bible told us in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it, the issues of life. Hebrews 11
Hebrews 11 and verse 15. If they had been mindful of where they were coming from, if they've been thinking about where they're coming from, they would have found opportunities to have returned back there. So when you go to marriage and you have options, you won't stay in that marriage. You won't stay in that marriage because you went into it with many alternatives, plan B, plan C, contingencies all around you. So the commitment it would take to make it work, you won't invest it into it. You go to it with a measured commitment, measured involvement, because you've got contingency arrangements somewhere. The same way with many believers, when they come to God, God is only one of many options that they have. And if God is not Jehovah sharp sharp, they leave God and go to where it is done sharp sharp. Yet the Bible told us in Exodus chapter 13, I believe, and verse 17. Exodus 13 and verse 17. That God did not lead them by a nearer route. Even though it was a nearer route. He said, he did not take them. Look at it. Although that was near. So it's not every time that God does it fast. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? No. That's why it says it's through faith and patience. Faith and patience. God taught me years ago. He said there are some things I do immediately. Some I do progressively. Some I do eventually. So you can never force me to do immediately what I have ordained to do eventually. You can't. What you need to do is to cooperate with God. Not make God to cope. No. It says Job 22. Job 22 and verse 21, it says, acquaint now yourself with God. Be at peace. So you are the one to agree with God. Thereby good will come to you. You are the one to agree with God. You are the one to agree with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It makes all things beautiful when? In his own time. Not in your time. Psalm 31, I think it's verse 15. It says, my times are in your hand, O God. My times, they're not in my hand. He holds the clock. He's in charge of the timetable of your life. He's the one determining all those details. Are you getting what I'm saying? And in his own time. You can imagine if the butler had remembered Joseph 2 years earlier. He would have remembered him. He would have left the prison. He would have gone back to his father's house. He would have walked out of a divine agenda. Ephesians 1 and verse 11. Bible says that we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works out all things after the counsel of his will. After the counsel of his own will. So God is working out something. There are details of your life that are above your head. Details of your life. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, I believe. Oh Lord, I know it's not in the man who walks to direct his own ways. Every man's way is from the presence of God. Not in the man who walks. I think it's Message version that says, mere mortals, Jeremiah 10, 23. It says, mere mortals cannot run their own lives. Men and women don't have what it takes to take charge of life. They're so limited in understanding. Psalm 119 and verse 19. 119 verse 19. He said, I'm a stranger on the earth. Don't hide your commandment from me. That is, I'm new here. It's like you going to a new city and you're not familiar with the place. You will be careful the kind of steps you are taking. You want a guide, right? Somebody who you want to insert the address in your GPS, right? Not just going. Not just going. God has given us a GPS. It's called the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word. In the Message version, it says that by your word I can see where I'm going. I can see where I'm going because they throw a beam of light on my dark path. They throw a beam of light by your word. I can see many people are going, they don't even know where they're going. They're just doing eat and run, eat and miss. And there are usually more misses than eats. And nobody gambles their way to the top. You can be led. You can be guided. Your steps can be, you can enjoy precision. You can enjoy accuracy. John chapter 6 and verse 6. The Bible said, he himself knew what he would do. That is, in life, you and I are not supposed to be stranded. Your days of being confused are over. He says, you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Who says amen to that? You will know exactly. There is what to do to scale up that business. There is what to do. Just because you started small does not mean you must remain small. No. 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 Though your beginning was small, but your latter end should greatly increase. But there is what to do. There are specific steps to take to scale that business, to grow that enterprise. If you don't know those steps, it will remain small. Not because God intended for you to remain small, but because you are not taking the steps you need to take to grow it. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul said, of the writer says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise let for us to enter into his rest, any of us should seem to come short. So a man can have less than God's plan. A man can have less than God's plan. Even when the seed was planted on the good ground, not every harvest was 100-fold. 30-fold cannot be God's best. 60-fold cannot be God's best. Because when Isaac planted, he received what? 100-fold. So a man can come short, receive lesser than what God originally intended for him. And it's about your attitude, your posturing to the word of God, your posturing to the truth of scripture, your posturing to the mind of God as captured in scripture, what we call the Hagios Grapha. Hagios Grapha, holy scriptures. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 tells us all of those books, those 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 of the New, were born of divine inspiration. Divine inspiration. Divine inspiration. This is the mind of God. If you want to know God, he's revealed himself through the book. John chapter 5, we are told in verse 39, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify concerning me. So if you want to know God, God has revealed himself in his word. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Can I continue? In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 21, how did God reveal himself to Samuel at Shiloh? He revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So God reveals himself by his word. By his word. If you want to know God, look into the word to understand who God is. And God wants to be known. God wants to be known. He wants, in fact, the Bible says this is what delights the heart of God, that we know and that we understand him. That's what delights the heart of God. I think it's Jeremiah chapter 9. He says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, not the rich man in his riches. But let him who glory in this, that he knoweth and that he understandeth me. In these things I delight, says the Lord. So God wants to be known. And how are we going to know God? He has revealed himself in his book. So when you look into the, and you see, God was speaking, David was talking to his son, Solomon, in 1 Chronicles 28, I believe, and verse 9. He says, know thou the God of your father. Because you see, God does not have grandchildren. He only has children. Know thou the God of your father. God doesn't have grandchildren. When he revealed himself to Moses in Exodus 3 and verse 6, what did he call himself? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not God of Abraham, grand God of Isaac, great grand God of Jacob. Right? God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. And he says, no doubt the God of your father. Know him for yourself and serve him. And how do you know God? Not in dreams. Not in prophecies. How do you know God? John chapter 5 and verse 39. He says, these are they that testify of me. To know God, look into the Bible. To know God. The word of God is superior to dreams. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I don't know what dreams you are having, but subject your dream to the word of God. Whatever those dreams are, or you dreamt and you saw yourself in a coffin, subject it to the Bible. Put it line by line with Psalm 91 and verse 16 that says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Jeremiah 23 and verse 28. Look at it. It says, a prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. Then he or she, I must say, who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is a chaff in comparison with a wheat? You see, a chaff, no matter how many chaff you have, if you plant it, it cannot grow. But a wheat can be planted, right? Right, church? So that dream is a chaff. That dream that you will not make it is a chaff. Listen, he says, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. So any contrary voice is a latecomer. You already made it. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You don't need somebody with a long stick and a long beard to tell you your future. No. Am I near? Am I near? Marie Shoroko ni wajure. No. Iwolori Ishorotireni. It's as far as your eyes can see. I cannot see it. So I cannot have it. You are the one seeing nonsense. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19, when they say to you, seek unto wizards that peep, spirits that mutter, should they be seeking the dead on behalf of the living? He says to the law, verse 20, and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They may associate themselves together, they will be broken to pieces. They may speak a word, it will not stand. They may take counsel, it will come to nothing, because God is on your side. Who says amen to that? So when you look into God's word, you see God's character captured in the Bible. So we see in God's word that God cares by nature. He's a caring God. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your cares because he cares for you. Psalm 34 and verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. In all the affliction, he was afflicted. So he's a caring God. He's a caring God. He's not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's a caring God. He's not just a carer, he's also a committed God. Committed, having loved his own. Jeremiah 31, no, John 7, John 13 and verse 1, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, he said, with loving kindness have I drawn you, and I have loved you with what? An everlasting. He's committed. Can a mother forget her second child? Even if she forgets, God said, I will not forget you. I've engraved you in the palm of my hands. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Because he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. If you have it in the Amplified Classic, AMPC, look at it. Amplified Classic. Everybody read it together.
Thank you.
You are not the one holding God, He's the one holding you. The eternal God is your refuge. Underneath are His everlasting arms. I will not. So by character, He's committed. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Never confuse His silence for His absence. When exams are going on, the teacher is present but not talking. Never confuse His silence for His withdrawal. Will never leave you. Even when Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. Genesis 39 and verse 21. Even in prison, the Lord was with him and showed him mercy. Even in prison. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art, even in the valley, He is present. It's not only there when things are working. In your low moments, He's there. He has remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endures forever. The servant of Elijah left him in his low estate. When on Mount Carmel, he was calling down fire. The servant was there, standing by him. But when the following day, a woman sent a death threat to Elijah, and Elijah began to run, the servant stayed back. But if wherever he ran to, God was there. Elijah, what are you doing here? God was there. Even when he entered the cave, He was there. What are you doing? 1 Kings 19:9. 1 Kings 19:13. Elijah, what are you doing here? When the servant had left him, he said, when my father and my mother forsake me. Our God by nature is not a deserter. His name is I Am. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. The last words in the mouth of John Wesley before he went to glory, the last words in his mouth was, the greatest of all is that God is with us. The greatest of all is that God is with us. The John Wesley of the Methodist Church. The greatest of all is that God. Psalm 46 and verse 7. Psalm 46 and verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob. Tell your neighbor you are never alone. So the Bible tells us God's character, that God cares, God is committed, and then God honors His promise. He's a promise-keeping God. Numbers 23 and verse 19, He is not a man that He should lie. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? He's a promise-keeping God. Men may forget, but not God. He says, I watch over my word to bring it to pass. So if there's any promise God has given you, there shall be a performance. I said, there shall be a performance. Genesis 21 and verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah like He said. Did unto her like He promised. Visited her like He said. He's a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. If He has ever given you any promise, you can pillow your head on it. Because He will bring it to pass. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? He will do what? He will do what? So the word does not just reveal God. The word also reveals you. God's word is called a mirror. A mirror that you and I can look at and see who we are supposed to be. God's image of us. God's opinion concerning us. Who we are in the light of redemption. How does the Father view you and I? When He looks at us, what does He see? How does He see us? You know, it's interesting, friends, that God will come to Gideon through His angel and was telling Gideon who Gideon was in the spirit. And Gideon was telling the angel actually who he thought he was. Gideon says, I'm the least in my father's house. The angel said, you are a mighty man of valor. The question is, whose report will you believe? That of your doctor, that of your teachers, that of your degree, or that of your God? Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. You will be a lender, not a borrower.
a head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. Who says amen to that? Whose report are you going to believe at the end of the day? Whose report? Isaiah 49. Look at verse 7 with me this morning. Very interesting. Isaiah 49 and verse 7. Everybody read it. Stop. Before God said what he wanted to say, he first introduced himself. He says, this thing I want to say, the person who is saying is the Redeemer of Israel. The one who turned Jacob to Israel is the one who is talking. And I said, to him whom men despise it. That is, people have looked down on you. To him that the nation abhorred. To a servant of rulers. This is now my opinion about you. Kings shall see and they will arise. Princes also shall worship. Because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. The stone that the builders rejected is about to become the chief cornerstone. Yeah. I say a change of story for somebody here. Yeah. A complete turnaround of your testimony. Yeah. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. And they said among the heathen, their God has done great things for them. The God of the rock foundation is about to lift somebody here. Anybody who ever looked down on you will soon be looking up to you. Amen. Those who laughed at you will be forced to laugh with you. Amen. I wish I would have a better amen in this house. Amen. That's the God of the Bible. He lifts the poor from the dust, the needy from the dunghill. A member of our church, sir, who was doing masters in the University of Ibadan, political science, masters, was in the protocol team in church. Many times this guy will come late to church and I will be very upset because he's supposed to be serving. And not once will he come up with an attitude. Not once will he come up with an attitude. Unknown to me, the reason why he came late was because he walked the longer part of the journey to church. Because there was no transport fare to come. And after service, he was living somewhere in Edition with an uncle of his. After service, he will follow guys who are doctors, who are usage, follow them to usage, and then from usage, he will walk to Edition. In the evening, he says, I'm tongue strolling. And this guy will carry me to meetings. And when we are going for meetings, we will see maybe all of these expatriates vehicles, or maybe UN and all driving by with a plate number. And I will say, Diplomat, you're soon going to be a diplomat. And I say, amen. You look very ridiculous. Until you believe the ridiculous, you will not experience the miraculous. One day, he was taking me to Saki to go and preach. That morning when he woke up, there was so much joy in his heart. He had applied to do another master's in one university in Sweden. So he was expecting to hear from them. So that morning he was filled with so much joy, and then he saw a mail from the school. He was excited, expecting to get a confirmation. He opened the mail and he said, we are sorry. He said, but my heart was filled with so much joy. That joy could not be contaminated by that disappointment. Have you not seen Psalm 4 verse 7 before? Psalm 4 verse 7. He said, you have put gladness in my heart. More than the time that their wine and their grain increased. A joy you cannot trace to happenings around you. A peace that is in conflict with your realities. Joy unspeakable that is full of glory. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying this morning? The fig tree has not blossomed, but you are rejoicing. 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 Cut the long story short. The guy finished. Got a job. To go and do internship in ECOWAS in Abuja. Was doing internship in Abuja with ECOWAS. And then something happened. The ECOWAS boss was having a meeting with an ambassador from one of the Danish countries, Scandinavian countries. One of the Scandinavian, actually, I've studied the Danish ambassador. And they were having, so he was asked to join the team to go for that appointment with the Danish ambassador. While they were there, wasn't the only one that was present. Danish ambassador turns to him from the crowd and says, I like this gentleman. He was flustered. He wasn't sure what was going on. Then this ambassador said, do you have a football club that you support? Football club. The boy said, yes. Which one? He said, Arsenal. The woman said, no wonder I like you. No wonder I like you. When it's your turn and it's your time, God can use anything. And then the ECOWAS boss, who should have called the ambassador back to the real conversation. Now, in actual fact, he also likes fish. Because the country of the ambassador, their biggest export is fish. The ambassador said, no wonder I like you. The ambassador said to him, what's your level in ECOWAS? Internship boy. So it was called GE1. So they have GE1, GE2, GE3, GE4, GE5. G1 is the lowest. By GE2, you become a full staff. Then GE2, GE3, GE4, GE5, this is GE7. Then P1, P2. Are you hearing me? The boy said, it's GE1. Ambassador said, what role do you want? The boy said it was P2. Ambassador looks at him, looks at his boss, and said, consider it done. This was a Friday. By Monday, he gets a letter of appointment, not as a full staff, but as a promoted one. I just came to this house to let somebody know, you have been waiting for so long where you are. The God of the Rock Foundation, the God of Reverend Tunde Amosu, the God of this commission, sent me here today to let you know that the time of your elevation has come. The time of your lifting has come. The time of your remembrance has come. Listen, we are in the 10th month. Esther chapter 2 verse 15 and 16. In the 10th month, Esther was brought before the king. I prophesy into somebody's life here that in this month of October, beginning from this October, let things begin to happen in your favor. 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 Listen, the man at the pool of Bethesda was a man who had been trying to get to the waters on time, but never was able to make it on time. You know what Jesus did? What he could not reach came to meet him. The living water himself came to meet him. Where he was, I want to say to somebody here, what you have not been able to reach will come to you. God will bring it your way. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. You see, the Bible says, I will give you treasures of darkness. Now, how can you believe for what you're not even aware of? It's a treasure in the dark. Except God gives it to you, you're not even aware that it exists. Except God gives it to you. And in Genesis 27 and verse 20, Jacob was asked, how come you found it quickly? He said, the Lord your God brought it my way. I want to prophesy into somebody's life one more time. There'll be series of events, series of occurrences. There'll be a divine orchestration of events in your favor. God will collapse time on your behalf. Whatever time you have lost before now will be restored back to you. The years eaten by the caterpillar, cankerworm, papaworm, those years will be restored back to you. You will recover lost ground. You will recover lost time. You will recover lost opportunities. In the name of Jesus, you will regain lost relationships. In the name of Jesus, who says amen one more time. Whatever you thought you lost, God will make it up to you. I say our God will make it up to you.
power, God will make it up to you. Heaven will smile on you. In the name of Jesus.
The same boy that was not given admission to a university in Sweden, just a couple of years after, that same boy was not invited to come and give the valedictory speech in King's College, UK. The same boy, red carpet, the same boy. Wherever you are, it's not the end of the story. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatever is going on right now, it's too early to jump into conclusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, judge nothing before the time. Judge nothing before the time. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Know we no man. You think you know who is sitting next to you, you don't know them yet. You have no idea. You have no idea. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It hasn't entered into the heart of any man what God has in store. Church, get ready. I said, church, get ready. A new season is here. The next level is here. A new day is here. It's the dawning of a new season. Somebody who believes it says amen. Amen. Wherever you are, pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Kabalamo kosataya. Silemambro dokobaya. Intalama koria labasataya. Ante tete yagada. Angle dide shekatika yaba dokada. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Friends, every attack you will ever have in your life will be an attack on God's word in your life. Every attack will be an attack against God's word, God's promise. The only thing the devil, Bible says, the thief comes to steal. To steal what? He doesn't drive cars. He doesn't sit in your car. Not in your house. If he touches any of those things, it is so as to touch the most important thing. What he wants to steal is the word that God has given to you. That's what he's after. Because that is your weapon of victory over him. The last time I checked, the key to victory, Matthew 4:4, Matthew 4:7, Matthew 4:10, is still, it is written. That's the key to victory. It is written. 1 John 2 and verse 14. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you, so you have overcome the wicked one. Because God's word abides in you. So what the enemy is after is the word that God has given to you. Look at Matthew 3 and verse 17. In Matthew 3 verse 17, God said about Jesus, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He just called him his son. The next chapter, chapter 4 verse 3, Satan comes, if you are the son. The same thing God just said. The same thing God just said. That's why in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 21, the Bible says there will be persecution because of the word. If God gives you a word, there will be persecution because of the word that God has given to you. Satan will react to prophecy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you never forget what he said to you, listen. If you never forget what he said to you, you can never lose what he gave to you. Because the word of God does not just create, it upholds. Hebrews 1 verse 3, he upholds all things. That's why, I love a church like this where you are taught to believe and then to receive. You can receive by the anointing,
And you can also receive by the word. Amen? Amen? The difference is, when you're receiving by the word, it's longer. It's longer. It's longer. It's a longer process. But it's a surer process. Surer process. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's surer. Because God's word, listen to me, God's word has a progression. A progression. The Bible says, Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, the word of God increased. Acts 12, 20, the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 19, 20, so mightily grew the word and it prevailed. There's a progression. When you receive it by the anointing, which is great, the Bible says when you cast out a demon out of somebody, you go about in dry places looking for rest. If you cannot find rest, he will come back to come and check the house that he just left. If he finds it swept and empty, it's okay to be swept, but not okay to be empty. If he finds it empty, he will go and reinforce, come back with seven more powerful demons. So somebody can go to a crusade and get healed of cancer in the crusade, and it will go into remission, and you will go to go and check, and they will say it's cancer free, and then 6 months after there's a relapse. Was he healed or not? Yes, he was healed. He was healed. But when the enemy came in like a flood, there was no standard to rise, to lift against the enemy. Isaiah 59 verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. What is that standard? It is written. So in James chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil. Resist the devil. You will have to do some resisting. You see the symptom, you resist. Stand in your ground. And whatever God does is forever. Whatever God does is forever. You resist. At times you resist for a week, a month, 3 months. You keep digging in your heels, resisting the devil. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Resisting the devil. Casting, look at what he said, casting down. That's present continuous. Casting down with imagination. So the thoughts are coming, you keep casting them down. Bringing into captivity. Present continuous. Every high thing that exalts itself against the. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Casting down. Casting down, casting down, casting down. Bad economy, casting down. I will survive this midnight season. Casting down. Surely there is an end, and my expectation shall not be cut short. Casting down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Creating filters around your life. Filters. Listen, in the presence of God, things can go from bad to worse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In God's presence, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. When Jairus came to Jesus, the girl was only sick. But right in Jesus' presence, news came to Jairus saying the sick girl is now dead. Mark 5, 35. Don't trouble the master anymore. The girl is now dead in the presence of Jesus. So things can go from bad to worse in God's presence, but you not stay like that. Oh my goodness. You're not hearing what I'm saying, church. Didn't you see Ephesians chapter 4? Am I boring you? Ephesians 4. The Bible says in verse 8. Look at what verse 8 is. Read it, everybody. Now look at the next verse. Thank you. Before ascending, it descended. So at times, before things get better, they get worse. Before ascending, it descended first. The law of gravity says whatever goes up is coming down. But the law of grace says whatever has gone down, God can lift it up. There is hope for a tree. Even if it is cut down by the saint of water, it will sprout and its tender shoots will not cease. So if you see anybody going down, don't think they will stay down. Let the brother of low estate rejoice because exhortation is coming. So in Jesus' presence, sickness turned to death. To death. But did it stay as death? Jesus spoke concerning Lazarus in John 11 and verse 4 and said, this sickness is not unto death. Jesus said that. And then he died. So God can give you a promise and the contrary, the opposite is happening. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? But whatever is going on, if it is not what is written, it is subject to what is written. Whatever is happening is still subject to what is promised. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the last time I checked, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 is called the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Almighty, Pantocrator, all sufficient. All sufficient. So even though he died, in John 11 and verse 41, Jesus stands before that same tomb and says, Father, I thank you. So it is time to look at your disappointments and take it to God in worship. Your disappointments, to take it to God in worship. I looked into the Bible, sir, and I saw the times in which Jesus gave thanks. All the times. I saw about four or five places. The only places where I have seen where Jesus gave thanks. In all of the Bible, he gave thanks over 5 loaves. So you must learn to celebrate small wins. Small wins. Small wins. I slept and I woke up because he sustained me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They called me for interview. After 10 applications, I've been called now for an interview. That's a small win. Celebrate God. Celebrate God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Over the blade, before the ear, before the full corn in the ear. Celebrate God. Celebrate God. Celebrate God. A couple in our church were believing God for a child and then the woman got pregnant and lost it. And then got pregnant and lost it. And we were thanking God that she can even get pregnant. She can even get pregnant. And then eventually, she gets pregnant again this year. And she thought she was just one. And we went to check. And they said it was two. And we were rejoicing over it. Let's show from another auntie another. They said, no, there's a third sack. The God of divine compensation. The God of full compensation. He gave thanks over 5 loaves. He gave thanks when he was able to empower 70. Father, I thank you. You've hidden this from the wise and the prudent. You've shown it to babes. So he was thanking God that God was raising others. Raising others. So it cannot be only reverend or people of his age, because the reverend is very old. I thought I was old school until you carried that song. Me Ogbori. I said, if I'm old school, Reverend is ancestor. And God is now raising even younger people now. You know that? He's making the unknown to become the renowned. And it is God.
and Jesus was thanking God that God was raising others. Raising others. Raising others. I saw recently a woman of God was talking out of sincerity and concern. She said, now everybody's traveling out. You two, you are traveling out. Everybody's going to go and do meetings in London. You two want to go do meetings in London. Stop. Everybody's doing this. You two, stop, stop, stop. As sincere as her heart was, it's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. Paul said, some preach Jesus out of sincerity, some out of envy. He said, whichever way, let him be preached. Let him be preached. Let him be preached. He still speaks to donkeys. So they may not be doing it for him, but he can still use them for his glory. Whichever way. Let's get the word out. Let's get the word out. When Joshua came to Moses and said, I saw two men who were prophesying. They're not with us, and I'm trying to stop them. Moses said, don't stop them. Woo to God that everybody will become a prophet. Let's get the word out. So Jesus was thankful that God was raising others. And he was thankful over small wins. Then he was worshiping over disappointment. Having spoken to Lazarus and yet he died, he goes before the tomb and the first utterance is, Father, I thank you over disappointment. And there's somebody in this house this morning, you need to give God thanks over small wins. You need to give God thanks that he's raising others before your eyes. Before your eyes. Before your eyes. Before your eyes. He's raising others. You need to give God thanks over even your disappointment. It is your alabaster box. Bring it before him. I said, that is why you are called Jehovah. That is why you are called Jehovah. What you say you will do, what you said you will do, that is why you are called. You are still Kabiesi, unquestionable. And if you will worship God over your disappointment, you know what will happen? God will give you a better resurrection. He will give you something better than what you thought you lost. A better resurrection. Something better than what you thought you lost. Have I helped anybody this morning? I'm trying to stop. So I think I should just stop. Because I've entered into the river. But let me just stop. No, let me stop, sir. Before I enter into the lower end of the river, everybody rise up on your feet. Are you blessed this morning? It's a great privilege to serve in this great house on this auspicious Lord's Day. That we're honoring God's gift to us, the Reverend Tunde Amosun, a gift indeed, a mentor indeed, a father indeed in the body of Christ, a man who carries and embodies the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And we're grateful for the life of our gift from God. Let me just say one more thing, and I believe God will help me say that what God wants you to do from today is start taking him at his word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Doing what? He gave me 5 examples quickly. Abraham, Genesis 15 verse 6, Abraham believed in the Lord and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So when Abraham chose to believe God, what happened to Abraham? What had seemed impossible happened. Right? Was that what happened to Abraham? Was that not what happened to Abraham? What had seemed impossible at 100 years, what had looked like it would never happen, like it was beyond Abraham, more like we call Abraham, when he chose to believe God, what had seemed unlikely and impossible happened. And I want you to know, child of God, if you will just believe him, what is looking like it's beyond your reach will reach you. Mary, Luke 1:38, took God at his word. Be
be it unto me according to your word. Because Mary chose to believe God. God bypassed protocol to bless Mary. Protocol was suspended. Medical science was suspended because somebody chose to believe God. And I want you to know, if you just believe God, take God at his word in this your life, in your life, what has never happened to anybody in your lineage will happen with you. The places nobody has gotten to in your family, you will go beyond it. That is, your lifting will not follow the rule of the thumb. God will make your life a statement of what else is possible in God. If you choose to believe God. Peter believed God. He had toyed all night and caught nothing. And then in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, he said, nevertheless at your word, that is taking God, in spite of struggle, struggled all night. Somebody here has struggled all year long. January to date, it has been struggle. But if you will just choose to take God at his word, God will reverse your misfortune. Will reverse your misfortune. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Paul was caught in the middle of the storm. Acts 27. And then it looked like they were all going to die. And then the angel of God came and said, there shall be no loss. And in verse 25, Paul said, I believe God. It will be as I was told. I believe God. I believe God. And because the man chose to believe God, he survived the storm. And everybody that was connected to him was eventually protected, saved. So if a man would take God at his word, you will survive any crisis. And then if you take God at his word, everybody connected to you will also be preserved. Everybody. Because everybody that was connected to Paul, Acts 27 and verse 44, they all escaped safely to land. They all. Because of verse 25, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. No matter what is going on, whatever the storm is, whatever the crisis is, Psalm 25 and verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. He is still able to save to the uttermost. We call him Abani Lagbaton. If you will just take God at his word. John 11 and verse 40. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see? It doesn't matter what others are seeing. You will not see shame. You will see glory. Amen. And near it is true. Amen. If you would believe, there will be no ridicule. There will be no disgrace. If you would believe. God gave me a comforting scripture when the economy became very bad. Psalm 37 and verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the righteous, and their inheritance shall be forever. Verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. I was just coming into the country recently. You know, I've been traveling a lot. And then I just realized that I enter the plane and everywhere is full, sir. Everywhere is full. Full! In this economy. Like, some people are not even feeling it. Full! Coach, full! Economy premium, full! Business class, full! First class, full! In this economy, it looks unfair. But when you are cooking rice, the same pressure, that move some grains down, move some grains up. I choose to go up. That whatever is going on, oh, it will work together for your good. Let's use this scripture to pray. I shall not be ashamed in the evil time, in this season, in this economy. I will be satisfied. I'll be well taken care of. Go ahead and pray. I'll be well taken care of. 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 Maraba kasakatayaba. I'll be well taken care of. Mande de ruba kasakataya. My needs will be met. That of my children will be met. Makalibo kosakataya. Farande higa malo kosataya. He took care of Elijah during the drought. I will be taken care of. Manangerele boko sakataya. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we pray for like 5 minutes? Psalm 18 and verse 29. For by thee I have run through the troop. By my God, hallelujah, I have leapt over a wall. Say in the name of Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus. In this season, there shall be no restriction to my advancement. Go ahead and pray. I'm leaping over walls. No restriction to my advancement. My life is heading in the right direction. No restriction. No restriction to my forward movement. I'm leaping over every wall, overcoming limitations, scaling hurdles, leaping over barriers. Manangele boko sakataya. Manamakoria laba sakataya. Varandele mokosi brahatekaya. Mande de skotoria laba yagada. In Jesus' name we pray. 1 Kings 17, look at verse 5 and 6. 1 Kings 17, 5 and 6. Read it, everybody. Listen, in Elijah's days, in Bible days, they ate twice. Evening and morning, God fed them in the wilderness. In the morning, ravens brought bread. In the evening, he was not at home. Wherever he was, they found his address. They're going to say in the name of Jesus, in this season, morning, afternoon, night, help. Locates me. Go ahead and pray. Provision locates me. Supplies locate me. Patronage locates my business. Customers locate my products. Morning, afternoon, and night. Help locates me. And the Lord blessed him there. Silama Korea Laba Sakatayaba. Silaba Baba 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 Baba. In Jesus' name we pray. Look at Genesis 32 and verse 29. The last four words. Last five words. Look at it. Last five words. Want to go? Where? Psalm 133, the last verse. 133, the last verse. For there the Lord commanded what? In the name of Jesus, your address has become the address of the blessing. In the name of Jesus. Last prayer, Genesis 21 and verse 17. Genesis 21, the first part of it. One to go. The first part. And God heard the voice. So this boy had a mom, had his mom present. And the Bible said God heard the voice of the child. So when God is hearing the prayer of your children, telling them to love God will not be a difficult thing. Because God is already showing himself to them. God heard the voice of the Lord. Can we pray? I say, in the name of Jesus, reveal yourself to my children as the prayer answering God. Go ahead and pray. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself to my children as the prayer answering God. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself.
Yeah, all our room, all battle. Oh God, yeah, all our room, all
with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, it's no coincidence that God brought you here this morning. Maybe you came by human invitation, but you're here actually as a result of a divine ordination. God brought you here for a purpose. And the reason for today is not even today. The reason for today is tomorrow. Perhaps you're here, you've never known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or you're here, you once knew him, but you walked away from that relationship. Or you're here, you just feel very far from God. And you don't really know where you stand with your maker. That's why God brought you here today. I want to give you an opportunity to make it right with your source. To make it right with the one who gave you life without your asking. You didn't ask before you were born. The one who gave you life must have a reason why. He must have a purpose for it. Before I formed you, I knew you. Before you came out of the mother's womb, I ordained you to be something. There is a plan and a purpose for your life. It is time to come into realignment with the one who foreordained your existence. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I've never given my life to Christ before. Or Pastor, pray with me. I once did, but I walked away from that relationship. Or Pastor, pray with me. I just feel very far from God. And I want to reconnect with my source. If any of those three describes you, wherever you are, just talk to God. He's as close as a whisper. He's as close as your breath. Talk to him where you are. He's knocking on the door of that heart. You want to give him entry, give him access to take over the management. You want your life to come under new management. Today can be the first day of the best days of the rest of your life. Forget about who is on your right or your left. Focus on your God right now. He's the one inviting you on a journey of bliss, a journey of grace, a journey of no regrets. If that is you, just talk to him. If you're talking to God, wherever you are right now, in reverence to God, I would like you to place your hand upon your chest and just talk to him. Place your hand on your chest and just talk to him. Forget about who came with you or who you came with. You must not miss this moment. This is a destiny-defining moment. A destiny-defining moment. A destiny-defining moment. Talk to God where you are. Now, if you're doing that, I would like to pray for you. Wherever you may be, you're praying right now. As I've asked you to pray, I would like to pray with you. If you're that man, that woman, in the main auditorium, in the gallery, wherever, I want to pray with you. If you are that person, lift your hand above your head, let me see you, so we can pray together. Lift your hand above your head, God bless you. God bless you. Above your head, let's pray together. God bless you. Above your head, God bless you. God bless you. It could mean that you have never given your life to Christ, or you once did and walked away, or you're just not sure of your stand with God. Today you want to fix, we want to fix it. We want to fix it. If you're lifting your hand wherever you are, gallery, main auditorium, please come to this altar. Take your Bible and bag and come to this altar and let's pray together. Because come, my sister, come. Let's pray together wherever you are. Let's pray together. Let's pray together wherever you are. Come. God bless you as you come. Come, let's pray together. Wherever you are, gallery, mid auditorium, just come. Let's pray together. Just come. God's love is reaching out to you. Today can be a turning point, and today can be a new beginning. You would rather bankrupt heaven to reach you. That is called reckless grace, reckless love of God. There's no length God will not go to reach us, to demonstrate his love towards us. I was a 15-year-old boy when I made this choice. I'm glad I did. I'm glad that it saved me from a life of regret. A life of regret. I was a 15-year-old boy. So maybe you are a teenager here, you can make this decision. An adult here, you can make this decision. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. Thank you, Lord. There's no shadow you won't light up running after us. Thank you. If you're standing at this altar, put your hand on your chest. I'd like you to say these words after me. I want everybody, let's stretch your hands to watch them. Let's say these words together. Say, they are God in heaven. Everybody say, they are God in heaven. I come to you today in the name of your son Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus came into this world and died on my behalf. After 3 days, you raised him up for my forgiveness. Today, I boldly confess Jesus Christ as my Lord, and I accept him as my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me your very own. Thank you for filling my heart with joy, peace, and gladness. And never be the same again. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, thank you for what you've done in these hearts and lives today. Whoever comes to you, your word tells us you will in no way turn back. Thank you, because today becomes the first day of the best days of the rest of their lives. We ask that you will fill them with the joy of salvation, and as you begin to live your life through them from today. Thank you, because to the very end, you're going to keep them in the name of Jesus. Their life comes under new management. And for this, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Now, heaven is rejoicing over your decision, and so are we in this house this morning. If you will please, don't mind, turn towards your left. Look at Prof. Look at Prof over there. Just walk down that road and go meet Prof, and you come back and join the service after. Can we celebrate Jesus as they go? I thought somebody is excited about that.
Thank you so much. Thank you.